reconvening with our buddy Jason Kanz, neuropsychologist at Marshfield Clinic by day. But in the early morning, he's, you know, our brother from another mother. Good morning.
Good morning.
How was your Christmas?
It was good. We celebrate on Christmas Eve.
Uh-huh.
And so we had a good time, had John and Grace over, and, of course, baby Rosalie, and made Liege waffles, which is our Christmas tradition.
Uh-huh.
And so that was really good. Opened presents and watched some Christmas programming.
Uh-huh.
And then yesterday I did really not much at all, which was fine by me as well.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, we went to my in-laws and Made in Iraq, which is the big tradition. And my brother is the pastor at Bible Center, my brother-in-law, pastor at Bible Center Church, Doug Leckler. And then, well, a lot of eating. It's hard not to gain weight, Jason. My goodness.
Right. That is true as well. Yeah. There's always treats around. Yeah, I think I had mentioned to you, maybe I even said it on the air, but I had talked with a dietitian at work recently, and she said, you know, Jason, Christmas is just one day. And I was like, but is it really?
Yeah.
You know, because, it, you know, we have this, you know, we're with people and we celebrate with food. And,
yeah.
That is one of the maybe advantages of getting on the other side of Christmas is trying to right the cart again.
Uh-huh. What am I detecting in your voice today? You sound a little different.
Yeah, I've got a cold, I think.
Okay.
So,
yeah.
Nice Christmas cold showing up. So,
yeah.
I had a sore throat Christmas Eve night, and so just trying to sit with that a little bit. So,
now are you're not in the office all week, or?
I'm not. I'm off all week.
Nice.
So, have a chance to rest a little bit, which is good. I'm looking forward to that. So,
now speak to those people who think, Mark, why are you calling him if he's off all week?
Because I'm already up anyway.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that's the, for those of us who wake up at 5 o'clock or before every day, it doesn't really matter if we're off on vacation.
Right.
Because we're not going to sleep in anyway.
Exactly. So. Okay, let's see. Two things. You've got an incredible Wordle streak going, but yesterday was a real test, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. I almost didn't get it yesterday. It was, I think I've had 244 wins in a row. And I think the word yesterday was evoke,
if I recall. Yeah.
And I, you know, I got to 5 choices and still didn't have the answer. And I wasn't sure I was going to make it. And all of a sudden it just kind of dawned on me and I finally landed on it.
That would be a big blow to have a top. Yeah. It took me 5 tries too. So yesterday. So,
yeah.
All right. And listen, you are a person who, you know, it's on the radio, so people may not know, but you like to wear colorful socks, right? I mean, like
kind of
adventurous socks.
Yes. Yes. In fact, the ones I have on this morning are green with pink polka dots.
Okay.
So, yes.
Well, that having been said, I have some socks that I got as a Christmas present that when I tell you what they are, you may want to say, I'm not sure you'll want to still be on the air with me. I have Raisin Bran socks I got for Christmas on my feet.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Okay. No, I love it. I think those are great.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know that I would wear Raisin Bran socks just because I don't like raisins, but I love all sorts of fun socks. So those are great.
You could think about it that in the sense that you're stepping on the raisins.
There you go. Yeah. Crushing them. Yep.
Yeah.
Right. I like it.
I guess at least this day after Christmas, I had us charted to do Luke today. And that's where. So I think it's verses 36 through 38 today. So
that's what I've got.
All right.
It says Anna, a prophet, was also there in the temple. She was the daughter of Phanuel from the tribe of Asher, and she was very old. Her husband died when they had been married only 7 years. Then she lived as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but stayed there day and night, worshiping God with fasting and prayer.
Uh-huh.
She came along just as Simeon was talking with Mary and Joseph, and she began praising God. She talked about the child to everyone who had been waiting expectantly for God to rescue Jerusalem.
All right, and Luke 2:36-38, in Jason's devotional commentary, Letters to Beloved, he writes it this way. The new parents also encountered Anna, a prophetess in the temple. Like Mary, she married young and became a widow at a young age. Just 7 years after her wedding, she remained a widow and was now 84 years old. She was always in the temple courts, praying and fasting day after day, having committed her life to me. Seeing my son, she gave thanks and told everyone who would listen about Jesus and his significance in Jerusalem's redemption. Final thought.
Yeah, every time I think about this story, I think about faithful people well into their old age. And usually for me, it's faithful women. You know, I think of my grandmother, who was widowed in her probably 50s or 60s, and just remained faithful up until her death in her 80s. And what a beautiful testimony that was.
Uh-huh. Yeah, for sure. All right. Well, we will do it again tomorrow. Have a good day off and get better. Okay, there we go. Our buddy Jason Cans. Little holiday weekend recap on the Wib Wake Up Show. Dad and Doss, good morning.
Good morning.
Go ahead.
Hey, day after Christmas, another successful year, at least in our household. What a wonderful day. It's so good to get to spend some time with family, exchange gifts, eat great food, and just enjoy each other's company. I think we need more days like that throughout the year if we can find them. But hey, at least one guaranteed throughout the year that we can set aside for something like that is deeply appreciated as far as I'm concerned.
A big tradition in our family is going to Maiden Rock, where your mom's parents live. And yeah. They've lived in the same house her whole life, right? And so, except for those 2 years in Africa, 2016 and 2017.
Yeah.
You've had every Christmas Eve there.
And she has as well.
I know.
Yeah. No, it's absolutely been a staple in my life, and you've certainly had quite a few there as well at this point.
Yeah, we've been married over 25 years, October. And then yesterday, a peaceful, relaxing, wonderful day at home. I thought the gift exchange yesterday, and we had a brunch early on, and I thought the gift exchange, I thought that was really a great time.
Yeah, of course. I think, you know, you got to hit that, like, right stage of maturity where people are old enough to know how to receive gifts. Sometimes you get something and you're like, I've got to find a way to use this. But also, you know, you've got to hope that people will know you well enough to get you things you're going to appreciate. And I think we hit that right balance of being able to appreciate what you're being given as well as... you know each other well enough to give each other things that are practical and nice.
That's right. And give a shout out especially. I mean, I got some wonderful gifts personally, but I got a homemade scarf that your sister Evelyn knit. It's made out of chenille. So smooth, so warm.
Yeah.
I'm not looking for the colder weather, but it's probably coming, and this is going to be great out doing the snow shoveling and dog walking.
Yeah, it was a super nice scarf. Favorite gift? It's a little bit of something I got for myself, or at least, you know, I sent to mom that she sent my way. But I got a new razor.
Uh-huh.
And for the longest time, I've kind of had a lower quality razor. And that is something that is tough to get you going in the morning. He said at a certain point, I just sort of stopped shaving other than like once every couple weeks and didn't feel great. So yeah, give me something to help that process and make my face feel a little bit better.
This is one of those subtle differences that we have. Dad and Doss, which is I like the shaving cream and the close shave of a razor blade.
Mm-hmm.
You opt for the electric shave.
It's the generational gap.
It is.
Yeah.
It's the divide.
It's a huge feud.
We just heard from Micah Tyler, the millennial.
True.
So.
Yeah. I don't know if I don't think I'm a millennial. I think I'm Gen Z type.
Yeah, right. Probably. And Michael is kind of.
I'm an ambassador to both.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Michael's opting for the electric too. So I guess I'm in the minority, but.
Listen, I'm sure you're good company. I'm sure plenty of our listeners still opt for the old shaving cream and razor blade. Well, folks, if you're a coffee lover like me, this news might be a little bit rattling.
That was part of my Christmas gift for you yesterday. Yes. I'd asked you and your siblings some questions like, what's your favorite cereal, candy, chips, and beverage? And you went with coffee, and so we got a great Keurig here. And yeah, but coming across this headline this morning... that talks about caffeine, and it says, big red letters, actually, is this study. Caffeine negatively affects decisions and problem-solving skills. I thought it helped that kind of stuff.
I would have hoped so. It's coming out of Staffordshire in the UK. Countless people use a caffeine boost in the morning to get their days started, but noteworthy new research suggests too much caffeine may actually backfire.
Yeah, specifically, people who participate in sports may be disrupting their own decision-making and problem-solving skills.
Researchers at Staffordshire University in the UK found that caffeine appears to negatively influence football for them, soccer for us, players' decisions on the field in collaboration with scientists from, what's that,
Shiraz University in Iran.
Study authors uncovering that while consuming caffeine prior to a game can improve the accuracy of football passes, it may also inflict an adverse effect on more tactical plays featuring more passes.
Huh, interesting. Yeah. They say caffeine, this is a quote from one of the doctors in the study, caffeine is one of the most popular dietary supplements which have been shown to provide benefits during exercise, including soccer. Studies have shown that caffeine can enhance attention, accuracy, and speed, as well as self-reported measures of energy and mood. However,
the effects of caffeine on higher cognitive functions such as problem solving and decision making are often debated, so we decided to investigate it.
Huh. Yeah, and so in all, a total of 12 young soccer players, 16 and 17-year-olds, took part in the study, which featured a series of tasks aimed at exploring the influence of caffeine on decision-making and passing accuracy, and apparently it negatively impacted them. I remember being a Bucks ball boy, and not so much getting coffee for the players. Yeah, I'm going back to the 81-82 season, Doss, so it was a few years ago. But Don Nelson was the coach of the Bucks back then, and so one of my memories is getting coffee for Coach Nelson.
Man.
And a little bit of, you know, sweet and low or something.
It's still crazy to me that you were a Bucks ball boy. It's such a cool story, the letter that you wrote to make your way in. That's almost surreal watching them, like, play yesterday on Christmas Day and to know that that was, like, a team that you were, like, actively a support of. I don't know.
I wish I would have stayed because when I came back to school or whatever, my freshman year of college was here at Eau Claire in 82, but apparently the Bucks called and wanted to know if I'd come back.
Oh, man.
Maybe Giannis and I would be tight. Maybe. What could have happened?
Who can say? Man. Well, that's a lesson what happens if you drink too much coffee. Yesterday, Christmas, I'm sure we all spent the day with our loved ones doing a variety of things, but what our family spent, the Halverson home, spent our afternoon doing was beginning the new Percy Jackson and the Olympians television series on Disney+.
Now, you and some of your siblings had read one or more of these books. Kind of explain the series, because, yeah, one of my favorite Christmas memories is of you getting one of the books from Rick Riordan and just diving into it on Christmas Day.
Absolutely. So the premise is this kid in New York, this sort of dyslexic ADHD kid, has it revealed to him that he is, in fact, the son of Poseidon, this Greek god, and it takes him on this sort of globe-spanning adventure through the world of well, not globe-spanning, but nation-spanning adventure through the world of Greek mythology. And it was written by Rick Riordan for his son, this kid who suffered from those similar issues, dyslexia and ADHD, as a way to show that those aren't necessarily things that have to hold you back. Through those things, there was one thing his son was interested in, that was Greek mythology, and so it was a way of connecting his interests to those issues and showing that he could still be this heroic figure.
And again, there'd been one or two different movies, but now this was basically a series of eight parts, and the first two had been released on Disney+. So the first time in a while that we had, you know, at least six of our seven family members sitting down and watching something together, and that just doesn't happen a lot.
Yeah, and I'm glad that the thing that we decided to check out was this level of quality. I know for me and my sisters, my mom read those books to us when we were so very young through all five of the original books. And sort of as you said, when I was old enough to read those books for myself, I got the first book of the second series for Christmas, and I spent all of Christmas Day, I can't remember what year that would have been, reading it. And so many warm memories, and to see that represented for sort of a new generation is really cool, and it was great to share that with you guys.
I thought it was good adventure, compelling television, and I guess the third of the eight episodes releasing today, it's got a 96% rating on Rotten Tomatoes, which is good.
Yeah, really good.
So, again, consider that, both the books and the show on Disney+. WWIB, The Wib Wake Up Show, Dad and Doss, Kayla back tomorrow. Creative New Year's resolutions. Feel like you start the new year ready to reinvent your life only to find that a month later you've given up everything and are living a life that's totally indistinguishable from last year? Maybe the problem isn't you. Maybe you're just bored of making and breaking the same resolutions over and over again. So why not break the rut this year? Try a new resolution, something creative and interesting. Here are some thoughts.
Choose one person you disagree with and take them out to lunch. Most of us are guilty of othering people who think or act differently than we do. As a result, we stop seeing their humanity and focus on their differences. Is there anyone you find yourself judging or negatively stereotyping because of their views? Invite them to lunch. However, before you meet, agree on some ground rules. Neither of you will persuade, defend, or interrupt. Be curious, conversational, and real, and be sure to listen.
That sounds like a recipe to heal America right there.
I think it could get us started at least.
Yeah. I'm thinking of a David French book about being a divided nation. Here's another creative New Year's resolution on the Wib Wake Up Show. How about schedule weekly time to be bored? What? Yeah, if your brain is always occupied, then you're probably missing out on some of your best ideas. When you get bored, you ignite a network in your brain called the default mode, where we connect disparate ideas and solve some of our most nagging problems. Also, during boredom, we do something called autobiographical planning. This is when we look back at our lives, we take note of the big moments, create a personal narrative, and then we set goals and figure out what steps we need to reach them.
Final idea here, talk to a stranger each day. It's easy to get swept up in your routine and forget about the people around you. This year, commit to talking to strangers, whether it's the person waiting with you in line at the grocery store, someone you see every day on your morning commute, or a parent at your child's school. Even if it's just a hello or a how are you doing, these little interactions can brighten your day and make another person feel seen.
There you go. You got some thoughts for creative New Year's resolutions. It's only December 26th. We got a little time. I've already picked out my word for next year. Jason and I, with the best 5 minutes today, try to come up with a word for the year. There we go, Doss. Think about that. Think about, what should your word be for 2024?
Interesting question. Yeah. And some interesting ideas for New Year's resolutions.